I want to go back to Colossians 3:15 because that message really spoke to me again as I listened to it. And I was like, there's more detail that we could cover in this Colossians 3:15. And I didn't want to just drop a line on it and go, oh, that was a good word. And then we just move on with our lives. So let's go back there again and let's look at what we're looking at here. So the Colossians, I'm gonna go straight to 15. There's so much more, but I'm gonna start where I left off and then we're gonna pick up. All right, you ready? And let peace, the word is peace. The key word for the day is peace, all right? If we had the magic blackboard up behind us, it'd be the word is peace, right? So the key word is peace. And I wanna really drill this in because I'm seeing the power of it in this season in a way that I've never seen peace before. I want, you know, us to gain a respect in this season for peace. You heard what I said, right? A respect for peace that we've never given it before. We've always pushed peace down the line, you know, prosperity and wisdom and understanding and all these things that have been wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God, all powerful things, right? But I have in there with peace, prosperity, and patience and abundance. I'm like, yeah, but peace is way, way down the line on that. So for this season, we want to pull peace to the front of the line. And the reason I want to pull peace to the front of the line, because after coming across the scripture in Colossians 3:15, it changed the dynamic and the focus of how I approach things. Now, I'm not saying the way I approached things before was wrong, but you approach things from where you are. You can't come in, you know, to Brooklyn if you're already in Oklahoma. As fast as I can get there, I'm already in New York. If I can go, you get my point. I have to break it down like that. You're not children. You'll get it. So here's a point. The directions that we've come from so far has got us where we are today. So let's just thank God, you know, for those, because those are a good coach or a good trainer doesn't say, well, you need to be fighting like Mike Tyson. They look at you, a basketball player, but I'm using boxing because Kwame is there. They look at you. They see what your skill set is. They see where you're good at. And I know you flow more like this guy. We're going to train you based on your strengths, right? God is the ultimate teacher. He already knows who you are and what you come with. So if you're looking at me and the way I play the game and going, well, I want to be more like him. God's like, yeah, but you don't have his legs. Okay. You can't jump like him. You don't have his thought processes. You're not going to reason like him. You're going to come into a whole different way. And if you let me train you, I will show you what your skills are and bring you in and perfect you where you're strong. Imagine if everybody fought exactly the same. Everybody played ball exactly the same. Every football player wanted to be a quarterback. Nobody wanted to play any other positions. It wouldn't be quite a game, would it? Well, God is giving you gifts, and I want to start with this message on peace being an umpire. And I listened to last week's message. I said, I'm saying empire all week. I knew I was saying umpire. I was reading it, but I'm pronouncing it with an E. So I want to make sure I put special emphasis on saying umpire this week, right? So think about this. In this series of this, I want you guys to understand and start first with, you're listening to me close? Being grateful for your skill set and your gifts and who you are right now, the way you are made. Stop wishing you were something else and had something else and was like somebody else and do just let's just make a decision right now today to just stop that, right? You are phenomenally, beautifully, fearfully, wonderfully made by God as you are. The way you think, the way you flow, the way you approach, it's, you know, and the older I get, the more I'm learning to appreciate everybody's approach to the game, right? It's phenomenal. Now, you can't go where you're called to go without knowing where you are. So that's the next phase of things, right? You know, I've given that example a million times. Putting your nav on to tell you where you're going is useless if you don't show the nav where you're starting from. It has to know where you are to tell you where how to get where you're going. So appreciating where you are and accepting where you are is the key to getting where you want to go. Watch this. That means embracing your flaws, and weaknesses as well as your strengths. Very important. Because there's no sense working on. I make jokes all the time, and I know you guys have seen this. You'll see these guys, they go to the gym and they look like this on the top and then like this on the bottom. Like all they work on is the visual and the rest, and the bottom leg is gonna collapse under their shoulders, right? You have to be fully developed. The Bible says we must be fully developed. So fully developed means, okay, we know you're good at this, okay? You don't do drugs, blah, 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 blah. But right here, am I in error? Just start reading the book of Revelations from the beginning. And the first thing he does when he starts dealing with the 12 churches is he says, this is good, but you lack this. And he went to all 12 churches and said, you're wonderful here, but right here, not so much. So these things are important that we embrace, come on, y'all, our strengths and the weaknesses without treating the weaknesses with shame or like they're your enemies. Now, it's important because when I went over this message again, I said, okay, the word is empire. And empire in there comes off as a sports type of term to me. So I needed to understand that if this thing is an umpire, if my piece is an umpire, that means my piece is making the decisions if it's a foul or if it's good, if I'm in bounds, if I'm out of bounds, if I'm winning, if I'm losing. The piece comes off as a judge that makes a decision on how my game is played. Then if that's the case, I have not let peace run the game. I look for peace as a kind of a sense that I'm okay, but I have not let peace run the game. Are you listening to me? I have not let peace be the boss. The empire, okay. I mean, I'm not a super sports guy, but I know enough about sports to understand this. The empire doing the game has more power than the player or the owners. During the course of the game, umpire makes the call. So if the umpire has that much power, even though he's probably the lowest paid person on the court, but he has that power, then we need to learn to yield to this umpire, because the umpire becomes the guide. And this is what I'm going to read this verse again, and then we're going to move on to the next one. But I want you to see the power of what I finally caught on to after all this time. Look at me. Even as a preacher, I'm going like, well, I'm learning new stuff every day. This is blowing my brain out. I've read this thing a million times throughout my life and never saw the importance of peace and its role that it plays in my development in God, my success, and my everything else. Watch this. So verse 15, you know, Colossians 3, verse 15, I'm going to read it slowly. Let peace, I'm reading from the Amplified, and let peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule. He who makes the rules is king. And let peace rule, right? I used to hear the judge on the people's court, the original guy, Judge Wapner, used to say, I'm not final because I'm right. I'm right because I'm final. Think about that for a minute. I'm not final because I'm right. I'm right because I'm final. My decision is right because it's the final decision. If peace has the rule, then it should be the final decision maker. Okay, so let's let peace from Christ rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts. Continually, not sometime. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. In that peaceful state to which as members of Christ's body are also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise and thanks to God always. So this is the part that I caught that I didn't catch last time. Let peace make the final decision and then be grateful for it even if you don't like it. Oh boy. Let peace decide and then be grateful even if it don't seem to go in your favor. Now, I made a point last week. I said, you know, the scripture said when you go to a house, if the peace is not there, turn and walk away. And our mind was like, well, yeah, if I go somewhere ain't no peace there, I'm out of there, right? And I said, right, in our mind, we picture something ghetto and something trashy. But then God showed me, no, sometimes you may walk to a house and it's a party and it's a mansion. And, you know, when you get in there, you don't know it's going to be 1,000 bottles of baby oil and stuff. It just looked real nice from the outside, right? So my point is, it looks right. And a lot of times peace will say no to us to something that looks pleasing to our eyes and our senses, and everything we want to do says, this looks good to me. But peace on the inside is going, no, it's not. Walk away. So peace doesn't always tell you to walk away from stuff that feels unpleasing. Sometimes peace umpires you to move away from something that seems right to you, feels good to you. And I have to like really drive that home. So then if that's the case, if peace is controlling the state of my mind and the state of my thoughts, this is a rough one for me. I don't know if you guys deal with this. Shutting down unpeaceful thoughts immediately. Just me? Just me? No takers? Got no takers? So in other words, when you're sitting there meditating on what that person said to you the last time and what I should have said when I see him again, and you already got a fight going, you cussed them all out and all kind of things, told them off in front of their mama and everybody, all that stuff going on in there, ain't no peace happening. You know it's not. Why isn't the peace umpiring that? And that's what God said to me. But wait a minute. You're not even like running that. You're not even submitting that stuff to the empire and running that out. He said, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You've got these thoughts running around in your head and you're not even shutting them down because at the moment it makes you feel good to think this kind of way. You feel some satisfaction in creating this scenario inside your own heart. So he said, let this peace be the empire in your heart and mind. Whoa. So I'm going through a lot of emotional stuff. Let me see if I could get some real believers in here with me right now. So I go through a lot of emotional stuff and painful stuff and anger stuff and fights and arguments that has not even happened in real life. It's going on inside the mind. And I'm having this conversation argument. Every time the person's name come up, my blood starts to boil. I start to think about the last thing they said and what I could have said, what I should have said, and what I could have done. And now this thing is lingering and lingering and lingering and lingering for years. It's so sad to me because I ran into some people recently, and I really was bracing myself for how I may need to, you know, be able to move and shake and dodge and dip. And what I got was hugs and kisses and like, oh, wow, you look great. We miss you. Like, we ain't seen you in a while. How you doing? I'm like, wow, all that for nothing. All that wasted time for nothing, right? Just wasted energy, wasted emotion, wasted foolishness, allowing our mind to run amok instead of allowing it to be empowered and guided by peace. So you can say to a thought, I rebuke you. I resist you. Nah, you can't. Some thoughts. Then why does the scripture say, grab every thought, bind it up and lead away captive any thought that seeks to exalt itself above the knowledge of Christ? So that means if there's a thought that goes contrary to your peace, then you have the ability and the right to say no. But I tried. Well, you ain't tried by submitting it to God, saying, God, I don't receive this thought. See, I've shared this stuff with you guys a while ago, and it's worth repeating. I heard Kenneth Hagin say this a long time ago. Thoughts may come. Thoughts may persist in staying, but thoughts not put into word or action die unborn. So if you ignore it enough or you resist the devil, he'll flee. So now I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to me. I'm not claiming I got this. I'm working this one out right with you. This was just a couple of days ago, what I just experienced. So I understand. I have the power to say to certain thoughts and attitudes, no, I don't wish to entertain you. Why? Because those thoughts are going to sit in you. They're going to rest in you. There's going to be a seed in you. Eventually, it's going to manifest itself into a life. Eventually, you're going to speak it out your mouth. And once you put it into the air, here comes the manifestation. It's just a matter of time. Keep playing with it. Keep speaking the wrong thing. Keep speaking the wrong thing. It was very specific. Nelly talked about it today about the video that's going viral. We sat down as a team and I said, guys, we are on this platform, that platform, this platform, that platform. Fine. For my studies, we need to be succeeding in YouTube. That's where they pay. Right? All the other ones, Instagram, all that, fine. YouTube and TikTok look like they don't want to write checks. They're talking about trying to get rid of you, TikTok, so we're going to go with YouTube. And we spoke it. What, not even 7 days ago? And then all of a sudden, next video. No, it's important that our heart and our mind is governed by the peace of God and that we speak what he speaks. So real heart peace comes from saying what he says, not saying what you want and then try to get God to line up with it. I'll let you sit with that a few minutes. Not coming to God with your wish list and then say, come on, genie, make it happen. That's not where the peace comes from. The peace comes from me saying, okay, I am aligned with your calling, your goal, and your desire for me. And if I do that, then I can walk in peace. And anything that comes against my peace, I can sick you on it because you already know that I'm aligned with you and it's not my battle to fight. Philippians 2:13 says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is at work in you both to will, energizing you to do and carry out his purposes. So I then realize it's not even something that I got to struggle to walk in. Once I make the decision, listen to what I'm saying, that I am going to walk in peace. Now, I'm going to drop something in here this week that I did not drop in last week. And this is when it clicked for me. And I'm going to be still working this out for a while. Trust me on this. Is this being a blessing to anybody? Is this helpful? Wave a hand at me if this is helping you. I sat there and I thought about this. And I went, okay, I now want to put peace in the center of the room, right? I want peace to rule. I've had peace, but now I'm realizing I want peace to have a dominant role. It's the umpire. If it's the umpire, he's got to say yes and no and good and bad, in and out, foul, good. Okay, so you calling the shots, peace. So that means I should not be making any decisions that don't align with your purpose. Why does peace have such a role? And I begin to think about the names of God. And it dawned on me that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. And I went, wow. So I've been putting the Prince in the back seat. So he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the Prince of Peace, so their roles are very close family. Firstborn, first generation. So after accepting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as Savior, then I still should be submitted to the peace that he's Prince of. And I came to the realization that a lot of things don't work because we can't ask for wisdom and clarity outside of peace. We can't go around peace. So how do we get that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to our next verse. Let's go to our next one. And I'm bring it on home. So I want us to go to Philippians chapter 4. Let's do that real quick. And then we're going to bring it on home. I'm glad you're being blessed. You gave me a show of hands, so I know you're receiving something. We've done this recently, but it brings it home different now. Starting at verse 6. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer, petition, which is a definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Now, before I go to the next verse, let's watch this. Do not fret or have anxiety or worry about anything, but in every circumstance, remember, it just said, let peace be the criteria in everything. Didn't we just read that? In your mind, in your life, let peace be the umpire in everything, right? Isn't that what we read in Colossians? So let's look at this. Don't worry or have anxiety about anything or any circumstance, but in everything by prayer and petition. Now, I want to separate these real clear for you guys, because it's been misused through the church for so long, and I don't think I teach on it enough. Most of what you're calling prayer is not prayer. You're wrong. And it's not working because you got it out of its category. It made a very clear distinction between prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. It broke down three different things: prayer, petition, thanksgiving. What is what most of us praying or calling prayer is? What is it? What do you think it is? A, B, or C? You can put it in the chat. He said B. He's saying B or C, Q. C? B. Okay. Everybody agree B? Most of what we call in prayer is petition. God, I need. God, I want. God, fix this. God, help this. Bless my food. Bless my life. Give me a job. Make the people treat me right. Help me be nicer. You know, help me, people be nicer to me. Am I right? The majority of what we're calling prayer is petition. But if it separates prayer from petition right here very clearly, then what's prayer? It's the word of God to God. It's God, here's what your word says. What would you have me to do? So prayer's first, petition is second, and then thanksgiving. Did you catch that? Start with his word. Spend time with that word and reading his word to him and quoting his scripture to him and quoting his promises to him. Then sprinkle a little petition in there. I promise you, if you spend enough time with the word, you won't spend so much time on petition, because you begin to realize that all your needs are met as you're reading his word back to him. You start to feel that peace that passes all understanding. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but let's just understand this. Once you start to speak his word to him and your heart gets filled with that promise and that truth, then when you start petitioning, all of and this is wrong and that is wrong goes right out the window, because you already got the promises. When you're praying petition first, here's what you're doing. You're praying in your mind, what you call in prayer, based on the problem. So what you're doing is you're polluting the gates of heaven with funk, with stink, with the earthly issues that do not exist up there, nor are they understood up there, because they're not even a reality up there. So you're coming up there and you're funking up the place with a whole bunch of junk that serves no purpose. But if you come in with prayer first, meaning reading or speaking his word back to him, then the petitions, which are earthly things, begin to align itself automatically. I don't know. Is that scripture? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take no thought for your life. What you're going to eat? What you're going to drink? Who don't like you? How you going to get a raise? Who going to give you money to fix your car? Where are you going to live next month? All that stuff is earthly stuff. Has no issue in the realm of the spirit. Stand on his word. Speak his word to him. The Bible says he hearkens to his word to perform it. So you don't hearken to your problems to perform it. You don't hearken to your tears to perform it. He hearkens unto his word to perform it. It says his angels hearken unto his word. So they're sitting up there waiting for you. Give us something to work with. Well, I got this problem. I got that problem. We can't do nothing with all of that. What are you standing on? What are you expecting? Now, don't be anxious about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, through prayer, then petition, which it says is definite request, and then with thanksgiving, watch this, not when you get it, after you do your prayer and your petition. Continue to make your wants known to God. So he says, make your wants known. But here's an order, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving. What do you mean? I've done this before, but let me put it on the clock for you. Let's say we're doing an hour, having our prayer time. Let's make the first half hour prayer. Just giving him his word, reading his word back to him, talking to him about his word. Then let's maybe give petition 10 minutes, maybe 15 if you got a lot of them that day. But then you close out with thanksgiving. Well, why are you closing out with thanksgiving? Because you already read the answer before you spoke the problem. So now you can end grateful and say, and I thank you in advance that all these things are done and taken care of. Because according to your word and the promises of your word, that means I'm already good. So a lot of times, once you spend enough time in prayer, you don't really want to do a lot of petition because you already know. He says he knows what you have need of before you ask. So you begin to give your petition, and then you said, I want to make sure I end it not with loading and dumping on you, God, but thanking you. Well, how am I thankful for the thing? Thankful for all the times he's done it before already. It'll come back to you once you start to sit before him with what's called really prayer. So this is the thing about peace. Peace helps my mind stay away from all the cloudy, messy stuff so that I can see clear, to say thank you, to understand the word. Do you notice in confusion you can't usually remember the word even? You notice that? You notice that when you try, when things are going crazy, or like you can't remember a scripture to save your life. But that's because you ain't spent enough time in it to feed yourself with it and have that conversation with God. So once we started doing WIPA, if you remember, people, that would pop up at any time in your life you were going through something. You go, wisdom, insight, because you had fed it into your spirit and your spirit oozes it out. So let's bring it home. So it says, don't have anxiety, but through prayer, which we broke down, petition, which is your request, with thanksgiving, continually make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which is what this message is about, that empire, shall be yours. That tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot and whatever sort it may be, that peace, which transcends your understanding, that goes beyond what you can think, watch this, will garrison and guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So we just broke it down. Peace is the empire. Well, if peace is the empire, okay, well, how does it work? Well, through prayer, petition, thanksgiving, you come to God, you bring him your request, and that peace will rise up, garrison around, it says, and just to say, God, garrison around me, put a troop around your heart and mind and protect it so that you have nothing to fear. Man, there's so much more I could say, but I'm not going to, because the message is right there. And that peace, and the Amplified says, will be yours, a tranquil state of soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly state of whatever sort it is, that peace, that empire, which transcends or goes beyond all understanding, shall garrison around and mount and guard over your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So I'd like to end it with this. Your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say it one more time. Your heart and mine in Christ Jesus. That means your heart and mind in his own lot, in his own state, in his own worries, in his own issues, his own concerns, that's not protected. What's protected is what's protected under your policy. This whole thing is like your insurance policy. And then you come and say, I want to get it, say, nope, that's not covered. What's covered? Every thought that peace empires, every thought that every fear that has been surrendered to peace, every concern that peace has a final say over, every angle of your life that you have surrendered to peace is going to be covered and protected and garrisoned around and guarded, heart and mind. That's what the word says. And so I'm realizing, I know if you think about what I'm saying to you, it may sound a little difficult if your mind thinks about it. But if you think about it, how many times have you worried about something? And once you gave up and said, you know what, ain't no sense to be worried about. There's nothing I can do about it. And it turned out to be nothing that big of a deal at the end of the day. Well, you know what? It wasn't even half of what I thought it was going to be. Well, God showed up. Won't he do it? And all them little stupid things people say. Right. Listen, he will do it every time if you follow the instruction. Prayer, then petition, then thanksgiving, and then the umpire comes in and regulates the game. Okay, so now I'm going to tell you what's going on. And let me just tell you something about the umpire. He's just not correcting you. He's also dealing with the opposing team. So anything Satan is trying to come in that's out of bounds, he's saying to him, nope, get that out of here. That's out. No, that nope, doesn't work. Well, I'm going to come against, no, you're not. Because they're operating under my rules, which is peace. So therefore, the empire is not just keeping you in line. He's keeping the opposing team in line. And the opposing team loses if I'm surrendered to peace, because the opposing team don't pay no attention to peace, nor does the opposing team have the right to even understand what peace is. This is some powerful notes I made today. And I want you guys to take this with your heart of hearts of hearts. Let peace be the umpire. Let peace help us make all our decisions. And hopefully we'll get to the place where we let peace make all the decisions for us and not even help us anymore. But I'm trying to help us work where we are, right? Let's let peace get in there and start, you know, doing some kind of work, right? And then let's let it grow. And let's let peace grow. And then let the Prince of Peace, who's over peace, is going to put his anointing on your peace. And that is the thing that I'm looking for in this season. I want peace. I want peace right now more than I want air. Because I've come to the realization that if I'm surrendered to God's peace, and I'm letting peace rule, all my outcomes are going to be good. Because the judge is on my side. And he's going to protect my heart, and he's going to protect my mind. So one more time, peace is the ruler, peace is the controller. How do I get that peace? Through prayer, God's word to him, supplication, then make your requests, and please close out the day with thanksgiving. If you're having this prayer time where you're whining to God and you're not coming out, I've had people that I've had to say to recently, how come you keep telling me you're going before God, but every time I see you come out of your prayer time, every time I see you talk about, I prayed to God, and you know, and I'm like, well, where's the peace? Where's the thanksgiving? I don't come out of the presence with God and I'm not joyful. I come out of the presence of God, I'm bouncing off the wall. If not, I mean, at least I'm at total tranquility in my heart. What God you talking to? How you have prayer time, you come out, you still depressed? You didn't have prayer time. You had a dumping session. You threw all the poop on the wall and it fell right back down on you because it don't stick up there. You went in with it. You came right back out with it. I know it's a gross analogy, but I want to make you see it. I want you to get the picture. You throwing that crap up there and it coming right plop right back down on your head. I want you to get the image of it because ain't no place up in heaven for that mess. God ain't keeping that. Yeah, God, they just taking the shovel, just pushing it right back down. Like, nah, we don't keep that up here. That's not what goes on up here. That's yours. You keep that down there on the earth. That's where that belongs. Take that right back. Whatever prayer closet you got, you're just going to be full with that because that's what you're bringing in there. But man, you come in there with the word, and you come in there with the promises of God, and your word says, I'm blessed going in and blessed coming out, and Lord, and just, and he says, and in that state of just accepting it, our earnest expectation and accepting that that's true. I don't care what happens. I'm standing by what this promise says. It has to line up. And I want to say this last thing. And this goes to you, but I want to say this, especially to my brother Nick. Brother Nick, God told me this a long time ago. He said, you know, you spent 30, 40, 50 years creating this mess. At least allow me some time to clean it up. Don't think after one prayer, I got to just fix everything. Like, can we work together to get you right so I can get you where you need to be so the blessings can continue to flow? So if we gave the devil 50 years or 20 years or 30 years, can we at least give God one? You know what I'm saying? Let's work on this process. So this is what I'm saying to us all. Peace. It's a phenomenal judge. But the guidelines and the rules are, he must be the umpire. And you see him, God, in protecting you through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. He's a wonderful umpire, and he does his job well. And you know what? He's hired by the boss, which is my dad. So that means the enemy ain't got a chance because the umpire's on my side. You can't beat this. It's a win-win situation. May the word that you heard bring God's blessings to you.